And maybe you have a reaction to the comment.
Thank you, Vladimir, for these comments. I mean, you're right. The model, the paper is not finished. There are certain things which need a lot of elaboration, especially the interconnectedness is very thin so far. And I understand there could be more information in the paper. I totally see that. Just need time to do that. And then I think it will also, the GDP aspect and all that is something which is to be written. I'll do it.
Thank you. Now, other questions?
The
cluster of errors proposition,
yeah.
The Rothbard, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The idea that in order to get a crisis, you have to have a large number of entrepreneurial errors. And I think the best neoclassical response to that point has been the argument that, yes, when you get an injection of money, you change relative prices. But some of that's going to be income effect and some of that's going to be substitution effect, right? So, to the extent that it's an income effect, that we change relative prices by changing the actual asset holdings of people through this process, it's not actually going to create errors. It's going to have distributional effects throughout the economy, but that doesn't tell us anything about whether there's going to be these errors. So some ability to disentangle, that might be a way to pitch, you know, one thing you could do with the model as a sort of paper you could write and say, some people say that, you know, Austrians not acknowledging income effects fails, it means that ABC theory is bad for one reason or another. You can come back and say, you know, well, here's a model where because the neoclassical model omits the stages of production, here's a model where it does create this actual cluster of errors.
I totally agree. Yeah, that's the plan.
Just why is it opposed to you?
It's open to debate. In terms of methodology, it's certainly not Austrian. It has a strong post-Keynesian influence when looking at the methodology, and it also has influences from the literature of agent-based modeling and evolutionary economics. But what I do is that I use these methodological devices and try to put them in perspective with the Austrian insights. And I think there are a lot of Austrian elements in the model. Yeah, for instance, the Austrian scholars are the ones which emphasize capital heterogeneity. Yeah, they emphasize the subjectivity of value. They emphasize, say, the regression theorem. They emphasize all these elements, which are, I think, decisive. And I have built this model based on these principles. And this is the Austrian part in it, I'd say.
Congratulations on the model. It seems there's a lot of work. It's a huge
intellectual construct. Awesome. My question is, what about discovery? Is some sort of discovery possible in this framework? Because the idea that people would just search and the three first prizes find is not a little bit weird. You know, when I think about the consumers process, I think about me going to the shop for find the jeans and seeing a pair of shoes I didn't even know existed, and finding a pair of shoes. You know, that's true discovery. That,
Not quite. I mean, there is. There's always discovery in the sense that you can only buy what you find. Only if there is a good in the market, then you can actually find and discover it. Yeah. However, the households in this model, they would not look for something which is not in their preference. This is not in the model. I see that shortcoming. Yeah, I see it. It's not the reality. It's a model still. Yeah. But it would be difficult to put that in, I have to say.
Paolo.
So your economy is running on a gold standard monetary regime. Are you planning to extend your model also to look at the consequences of nominal fiat currencies?
Oh, yeah. Totally. I mean, I think, well, I haven't said it, that is totally right, but it's my fault. When I say credit expansion, yeah, then this is actually fiat currency in some sense. Okay, then I've actually switched regimes and say, okay, now we have that the banks deviate from their principle not to lend out the checking deposits of the households, for instance, or they simply contract new loans with the firms out of thin air. Yeah, this is what I mean by credit expansion, and then this is what actually triggers the business cycle. Yeah, it's only that, and only if you deviate from the gold standard, then you have these effects. Does this answer your question? I mean positive in a, say, epistemological sense. Yeah. So when I say positive, I mean the model tells us if I do A, what happens then? It does not tell us should I do A, should I do B, or what would be optimal. Yeah. So that it therefore has no normative tendency. I contrast this with DSGE models, because the DSGE models, they do have this tendency, even though the neoclassicals would never admit it. But if you look at the original paper of Ramsey, 1924, I believe, and then he starts this paper by saying, the question that I'm going to answer is this: how much should an economy save? It's completely normative. It's the only question that he answers. Yeah? It does not tell you, it is not a description of mechanism. It's actually an advice. Yeah? And this is different. This is a completely different character from what I'm doing here.
Excuse me, I did not have time to read very precisely your paper, It seems to me that there are two strong points in the Austrian vein. First, there is the idea of misinvestment. I mean, this is very important. And the second one is the idea of boom and bust. Now, according to me, boom and bust is a self-evident phenomenon when there is a gold standard. So my question is as follows: are you sure that when you leave the gold standard system, we have, with your model, we get a boom and bust phenomenon?
Not necessarily. I mean, when you leave the gold standard, then you can sustain monetary expansion for quite a while. Yeah? And it can actually be that as long as you simply like accelerate the money supply all the time, yeah, then the system never breaks down. Yeah? But yeah, as soon as the new printed money does not suffice to say sustain the structures that you've built, yeah, then the system collapses. And it need not collapse totally. It can actually collapse partially. Yeah, if at some points say the monetary expansion slows down, then a few firms will go bankrupt somewhere, but not the entire system. Yeah. If you do more radical changes, then it will have more radical effects. Yeah, so, in essence, and I think this is also what we see in reality, is that we are now living on an enormous bubble and has not collapsed so far. And every now and then we see something breaking down somewhere, and we can actually, we can track this back to monetary expansion in the past.
Although